This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording this tonight after the Lions lose in one of the most imaginative ways possible. when you're just talking to people, it's just like the Lions found another creative way to lose. And this might top them all. Anyways, the Lions lose on a 66-yard field goal, 19-17 to the Baltimore Ravens. We'll be talking about this whole game. But first, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the crew. So we got Connor.
Hey.
UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello there.
All right, gentlemen. Like I said, 66-yard. just unbelievable. Historic loss because no one else has made it. A kick that far ever in NFL history, and it went off the crossbar and up and over. Do we want to talk about the kick, or do we want to talk everything that led up to the kick? Let's start. I think we should start at the Lions getting in the red zone with under 2 minutes and then running the ball three straight times into the teeth of the defense to purposely make Baltimore use their timeouts. And pretty much I like this. Put it as playing not to lose more than playing to win.
Agreed.
Very conservative.
I mean,
what I would have done.
Is that a frustrating approach to you? This is kind of Dan Campbell's first test in this type of scenario.
I found it a bit frustrating, especially you just want to see that aggression. Though, I mean, I think logically this whole thing stands up. It wasn't necessarily technically the bad call, but it was a very conservative call. And
they should. It should have worked out, but
And he wanted to put.
Yeah, I don't want.
I did. Oh, sorry. I was gonna say he put. Dan Campbell explained that he wanted to put the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands because he felt like the defense was gonna step up and stop him.
And he was right.
Statistically, normally
until.
He'd be right.
No, I don't have too much of a problem with that part. As far as running it three times, because it played out the way he wanted it to. It's just what came after which bothers me more. So I'm gonna give him a slide on that, on the going conservative in that last couple minutes, because they did get the lead with a minute left. They had no timeouts, so I'm not too bad with that. What came after that bothers me.
Are we cutting him too much slack though? Like if Patricia had done the same thing, I feel like we'd be going a lot harder on him right now.
I don't know.
Well, we saw 3 years of it from Patricia. This is only three games into the Campbell era. So
they did get him deep. Though. They got him deep in 4th and 19. You know, so they did have a good plan going until their call on 4th down.
Yeah, what do we think about them running three, rushing three guys?
Horrible,
horrible,
worst thing ever.
You see, it happened.
God,
so I don't understand.
I was so mad. Yeah. I was so mad before that play even started. I couldn't.
You can't give Lamar Jackson 20 seconds to throw. You gotta force something.
No. He could have stood. He could have stood back there for another 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
that was the biggest fault of the whole game.
Yeah, I've never understood why defense coordinators rush only three people on obviously a long pass with limited time left. You can't give any professional them, especially a a former MVP candidate that much time, or MVP winner to throw the ball. You just can't.
Nope.
No.
Yeah. I mean, and Lamar Jackson said Dan Campbell calling the timeout helped set up that play because they were kind of discombobulated. Like they had enough time to set up a play. and stuff. And without that timeout, they wouldn't have been able to do
that. Well, I don't have a problem with the timeout. I mean,
I know, I'm just quoting what Lamar Jackson said.
No, I'm just saying we wanted to get the defense perfect for that situation. Obviously, they didn't do it right, but the fact that they took a timeout to get ready for it, I don't have a problem with. And the refs, I know we're going to get to this, they also helped pretty much seal the game for us. They let the and that did affect the game, so it's not like some crying thing.
Well,
they,
we'll add it to the list. It's another one added to the long list of Lions getting screwed by the refs in a call that affected the final outcome of the game. And the Lions are always on the wrong end of it. They're never on the right side of it. They're always on the wrong end of it. I mean, it was obvious. The announcer was counting it down. Everybody saw.
Delay of game, if you guys didn't see this. But
the league still has not apologized to the Lions for that, by the way.
I just don't understand how that even.
They're tired of apologizing to the Lions. They're always apologizing. Yeah. We're not apologizing anymore. Hell with you guys.
I don't even want an apology. Like, it's meaningless anyways.
No, we got to get to the point where that doesn't matter anymore. That's the problem. And I mean, we were close in this game. And, you know, if you look at it another way, too, that receiver Brown, Marquise Brown, right? He dropped, what, three potential touchdowns?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, there was mistakes on both sides, but that's the ref taking it out of our hands. I mean,
you're right.
We had mistakes like false starts on fourth down where they shouldn't have. You know, a lot of stupid things that screwed us up on our own part.
Right.
So they made some mistakes. Yeah. It just equals out. But the refs are not involved with that, and they shouldn't be.
Right.
Bullshit.
Why can't that be reviewable? A play like that.
I was talking about that with somebody today. Yeah, it's weird what is reviewable and what's not. You can review 12 people on the field. You can't review a hit to the helmet. I think it's just weird certain things that you can't review.
Yeah,
that seems like something
that
should be obvious, though.
They were trying to make some kind of excuse like, well, maybe they weren't synced up with the clock or something. You know, I mean, aren't they all looking at the same clock? I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
And there's been no proof that it wasn't synced. So
right, exactly.
Applesauce.
Man. So let's go. So the Lions go down 13-0 in this game, 10-0 at half. Brutal first half of offensive football. The Lions defense actually stepped up. Do we want to get started on the defensive side or offensive side?
Yeah.
Let's start defense.
Let's go defense.
Let's go to the defense because the Lions, you know, pretty much held the Ravens in check for the most part. Ravens only 116 rush yards on 22 attempts. So 5 yards a carry, but really, I mean, really limited them, I thought, for the most part.
Only 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but 30-something, that was Jackson's one run. So
yeah, no, I think they did play better for sure this week.
Yeah, and a big part of that, I don't know if it's a big part, because Derek Barnes is actually our lowest-rated defender on the week. But
hell of an Reeves, offense to go against, though, in your first game.
Jalen Reeves-Maybin actually looked pretty good in this game, I must say. And him and Barnes split time on the field, 28 and 27, I believe, was the split between the two.
Oh, wow.
And Reeves-Maybin looked really good. And when I say split time, replacing Jamie Collins on the field.
Yeah, Jamie Collins was not missed.
No, he was not.
No.
We did not miss a parking cone out there. So,
Anzalone actually looked a little better.
Looked a little better.
He did. He looked much improved. Had a big sack at the late part in the game. Leading the team in tackles again.
AJ Parker was really good.
The secondary as a whole, I thought, played pretty good until they had that one busted coverage. But the young secondary looked good. They held up pretty good for the most part.
Don't give me those PFF numbers. Parker made some plays out there. Sorry.
He did make some plays, but he got burned on a couple.
They didn't give up many points, so.
UJ said, Marquise Brown helped us in that regard.
Hey, you know who else we didn't miss either? And this kind of hurts me to say that. It's Trey Flowers. We actually didn't miss him in this game.
I didn't even notice.
Austin Bryant stepped up. I thought.
Austin Bryant stepped up with the sack in this game.
Yeah.
Our top-rated pass rusher was Julian Aquara in this game. He had the most pressures out of anybody.
Both Julian? Good out
there. Really? Julian Aquara, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those brothers could be enforced, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Julian Aquara getting like a role on the defense for once on being out there.
Yeah.
He's been largely absent since we drafted him just because of injuries and such. But it was really nice to see him out there affecting the game in some degree.
Yeah, him and Bryant, yeah, the young guys.
Yeah, Pennacini had a nice deflection on a play. And I don't know if he did anything else really in this game, but he did have a pass deflection at the very least.
Hey, he got a compliment out of you, Z. That's something.
That is something.
Pennacini. You've had it in for him since day one.
Had it in for him.
Well, you know, you say one negative thing about something, that means you had it in for him forever. Yep.
All
you
right.
Say one nice thing about a player. He's your guy.
We know you've been plotting his demise since we drafted him.
Bobby Price played in this game. He was our second quarterback. What do we think about his performance? He did get burned a couple times, and we got lucky. But he also had a couple nice plays. So
solid,
a little
say.
Up and down. But he definitely got away with some, getting burned down the field a couple times. But hey, we'll take it. You know, maybe that was part of the game plan. This guy has no hands. Marquise Brown has dropped a lot in his career.
Yeah, the game plan. Let him just run wide open and hope the water goes to him.
Well, you know, I think the secondary's play reflected our improved line play, to be honest with you. I mean, our rush was better this game, more pressure, and it showed in our defensive backfield. I think they were able to cover a little better. So overall, I mean, yeah, there were a few misplays here and there, but I think overall, a fairly solid game for those guys.
I'd agree.
Yeah,
definitely. And Tracy Walker, I thought, played really well in this game, too. Definitely a step up for him in this game. He was all over the field. And Lamar Jackson did not throw his way once in this game as well. So that's always a good sign as a defender.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking at where the rebuild is right now, I know we lost, which sucks, but I kind of like the direction the way these players are playing. I think we're kind of undermanned on defense. Just we need better players. But the players we have all played really hard, I thought. I was impressed with the effort.
Oh, Awari had an interception, too. He deserves a shout-out.
Absolutely, yeah. Awari was one of our better players in the field, and he definitely stepped up and played like a number one corner in this game, for sure.
How about your boy Harris, though?
Will Harris?
Yeah.
Wasn't his worst game. He's had worst games. That's not saying much.
Just
but,
remember for the one play, I think, maybe. Very end of the game. I think that was his guy, wasn't it?
It wouldn't shock me. I need to go back. Yeah. It sucks. NFL Game Pass doesn't put the all 22 up, so it's still hard to watch these games, like rewatch them and like learn what's going on in the field. Really frustrating. NFL Game Pass, get your shit together. It's really frustrating. You pay all this money and you don't even get the big, you know, the things that you paid for.
Big Z has decreed it. Get your shit together.
It's not just me. It's a lot of people out there that paid for the service. The NFL is screwing the fans over yet again.
Something new.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right.
Levi Wuzurike played 14 snaps in this game. Aleem McNeil, 13 snaps. So not too much work for them. More work went to Nick Williams. He was out there 42 snaps, and Brockers 45.
Wow.
So the young guys still just backup rotational guys at the moment. Largely, but maybe they'll get a bigger role as we go on in the season here. Because Nick Williams is a little up and down. I don't know. I'd rather see McNeil or Muzurike out there a little bit more.
Me too.
Well, they played pretty well this week. I mean,
yeah,
we limited the points.
Exactly.
That's like one of their better efforts in a while for defensively.
I do got to say, we got lucky on a few big drops, though. That game could have...
It happens every game.
That's true.
Not like this. I don't know. That felt like he had money on the Lions.
Marquez, I don't know.
But...
Ooh, DraftKings.
Two guys that played out there every snap, there was only four guys. So Anzalone, Bobby Price, Warrior, and then Romeo Okwara was out there every snap this game.
Wow.
Our third highest rated player. So Romeo Okwara, really good game out of him. If we can get that out of him going forward, especially this upcoming week against a Bears offense that just gave up 9 sacks against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
We can get into that game. That'll be really fun to talk
time.
About the Bears offense.
That D-line's got to be licking their chops, man.
Absolutely.
Sunday coming up.
Absolutely.
That's bad.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, week 2 of football is in the books. And now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet only $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now on your iPhone or Android and place a bet of $1 on any week game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. Its sportsbook is not yet available in your state. That's okay. DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Michigan has online gambling, all right? And it could go right to your phone. So Detroit Lions fans shouldn't have to worry. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code TPPN. That's a T, two P's, and an N. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
So the Lions down 10-0 in the first half. Let's talk about the offense in the first half here because it was ugly. It was pretty ugly.
They didn't want a screen pass. They didn't want. They seemed determined not to account for that blitz. It was weird.
Yeah, I did not get that at all.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. And they're blitzing. They tried that weird ass, halfback toss throwback to the quarterback. Oh, luckily, Swift's hand got hit in the right direction for that to be an incomplete pass because it could have been a lot uglier early in this game.
Yeah.
Goff that ends not up being a fumble like it. There, right.
I know. I was expecting more from our offense, especially the passing game, considering the way the Ravens defense had been the last couple weeks as far as giving up yards. But they figured us out. So, I don't know.
Now, the Hawkins, better, though.
I think
Hawkinson had a pretty quiet game in this one, too, after Waller and Kelsey lit up that defense.
Well, it was obviously their game plan to take Hawk out of the game.
Yeah, they did.
It was obvious.
They did.
You know, some of the O-line, I think this was a big game for them because the youth on that O-line kind of showed up in this game because they were getting flustered by all the stunts and twists and blitzes.
Definitely our worst performance as an offensive line this season, for sure.
It was, but it's a good chance to learn and grow because these guys are still relatively new playing together, and those are the kind of games where you have to communicate the most. So that'll just help them, build up for the rest of the season and get better against, the next team.
I gotta say, why did they wait till halftime to discover that using DeAndre Swift would be a good thing?
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's where
the second half.
Especially Goff, the way they got the ball to
six
him.
Touches in the first half.
Do you think it's our offense, or do you think it is indeed, like a lot of people say, that are just our wide receiver core is one of the worst in the NFL? Because Jared Goff throwing our wide receivers has been pretty ugly this year in terms of consistency compared to his throwing to the running backs and tight ends. Because this is just stats in the game. Khalif Raymond led the team with 6 catches, 68 yards. But after that, DeAndre Swift, 7 catches, 60 yards. Fells, 2 for 35. Williams, 2 for 25. Hockenson, 2 for 10. And then our receivers, 1 for 9. Hodge, 1 for 9. Cephas, 1 for 2 yards. Amon Ross, St. Brown. So very, very little production out of the wide receiver core again this week. And the offense didn't start turning it on until we started throwing to the running backs.
Yeah. Well, playing against that Ravens defense, so you're going to have to do quick hitting stuff, and that generally favors the backs and the tight ends and stuff like that. So I think just by the nature of it, you're not going to get as many passes out the wide receivers. But as the game went on, though, Khalif Raymond did seem to find some openings out there, which was nice to see. The kid's coming along pretty good. But, yeah, overall, our receiving core is a little wanting, let's say.
I think the problem is partly with Goff and his comfortability with the receiving core. I don't think our receiving core is necessarily that bad, but I just don't think he's grown the rapport with them. And he likes to check it down so much that he hasn't really been able to. Like, you notice when he pushes it down the field, he finds these guys, but he's so quick to check down that I think that's been But this game, he kind of started doing it, and he found Raymond for, you know, six catches. That was pretty good.
I mean, it's kind of been
Raymond dropped a couple too. Yeah. So
I mean,
yeah,
it's been a big debate with Goff.
I'm not ready to poo-poo the receiving core yet. I think they just need to continue to grow their relationship, getting it to each other in the ball.
I'll poo-poo them. I don't think we have that great of a receiving core at all.
I agree.
We have some decent athletes that are okay, but not like we don't have a true like number one like great receiver. So we're a little lacking there, but I think we have enough talent that we can win some games. Obviously, they almost won this one.
It's only because they haven't given Cephas his chance yet, Bob. They need to yeah. target him more.
His Hall of Fame credentials are dimming right
yeah.
now.
No. Oh.
I wonder if they'll be booing at Cephas's Hall of Fame speech one day. Yeah, at Ford Field.
Oh, yeah. What'd you guys think of that?
I think the fans are on my side with Calvin.
If you're unaware, the Lions fans are booing the ownership at Calvin Johnson's halftime Hall of Fame ceremony. So the Hall of Fame ceremony, that'll be remembered more for the fans booing ownership than the actual player that was being commemorated.
It's a shame. He only
spoke
for like 30 seconds, which is bad.
But... Oh, really? I didn't see any of
that. Did he? I didn't see that.
Speech. I just saw the video of them booing.
They did get their message out to ownership, though. I know we got some ownership slappies in here, so I don't want to offend them. But
Bill Ford, tough man.
Calvin.
Ownership slappies. Woo.
I mean, UJ sees them as like parent figures. Like I don't know, or something like that.
Parent figures. Yeah, good one.
But I don't know. Someone was talking about discipline. I forgot who. Mother, father. I don't know. But the point is, I think the fans are more.
What are you talking about?
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Someone in our chat the other day was talking about how Calvin Johnson has to be disciplined.
Get
like,
all the
like
teeth
your
in your
son
mouth.
Or something? Like,
sense.
What the hell? Like, it's a business. Like, they're players. Like,
wait, who's getting disciplined? I missed this.
I don't know who said that. Said it in the chat, someone said Calvin needs to be disciplined.
Trying to be more self-disciplined or something.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
really
I mean,
wild to see.
I mean, this current owner, Sheila Ford Camp, isn't the one that made the decision, so it's hard to pin it on her right now and booing her. She's been on the job for what, less than 5 months, 6 months. So I didn't completely understand booing her unless they're just booing, you know, losing for
the last,
her last six,
name
55
is Ford.
Years. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's.
I mean, she does have the power to give Calvin back his money and won't do it. So she's at least partially responsible.
Well, she can't just
Maybe.
Do it. I mean, according to the NFL rules, they have to pay him for work done or something. But someone said they could have just paid him for showing up that day, right? Just showing up for
the ceremony?
Making up, yeah.
There's a lot of loopholes to get around the. Rules.
I'm sure there is.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there is too.
Like you go into his pot store and like buy a joint and overpay by like $1.7 or like leave a tip, like right?
Yeah.
But the running game again this week, I thought at least in the second half it turned up. In the first half, I mean the offense as a whole in the first half was a little rough.
Yes.
But in the second half, still it got better, and this team. Again, down 13-0, didn't quit, fought all the way back to a game they should have won.
Hey, Z.
They should have won this game.
Z, what is your opinion on the receiver room? You think you've got the talent there?
I see a future. I see a couple future late first-round draft picks enhancing that room, for sure.
Yeah.
I think, especially the way the receivers have come out of the draft the last few years, I think there's a lot of talent coming through the college ranks in the wide receiver core. So I don't have the list of draft people in front of me right now, but
yeah, no, I just wondering there's a lot of current crop, but we
there's
have.
A lot of room for improvement. You're telling me a guy like Devontae Smith would instantly improve this offense? Then that's crazy talk because it absolutely would. There's no doubt about it.
I agree. With you.
And it sucks that we talk about Jared Goff, and it's hard to evaluate him when you have a group of receivers that. There's not a true number one wide receiver in this group. Maybe Rudd Dog says Quintez Cephas.
Give him a shot.
There's nothing that's shown that he is that guy. That's why it's hard to fully evaluate Goff when he doesn't have a guy that's a true number one. And we thought Tyrell Williams maybe could do that, but no, he's hurt again. So, and that's kind of been his career. Although it was Goff's fault that he got hurt probably in the first place.
It was.
Yeah. But, so, yeah. I would like to see more out of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I've seen some really good blocks out of him in the run game, but we have barely targeted him.
I know, especially because he was my rookie pick to click, so that's disappointing.
Especially because he's a slot guy.
Bad.
I thought the he'd be getting some of that check down stuff, but it hasn't happened.
It's nice seeing those receivers blocking, though. I'm telling you, you just watch Hawk when he's not. Hawk, that guy, man, he's unbelievable. He's such a good blocker. If you key on him and run in the run game, he's incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Beast.
I mean, so far, Hockenson is painting out like the pick that we picked him at, unlike Eric Ebron. And we're getting a lot more value out of Hockenson than we ever did out of Ebron. That's for certain. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's much of a debate right there.
That is
I just want to say one more thing about this team, though. If we're comparing to last year and in the Patricia era, just one thing that stands out to me is this team has made adjustments at halftime in every game.
Yeah.
And for the better. And I mean, we never did under Patricia. We kept doing the same thing over and over again ad nauseum. And this guy did these guys are making adjustments. They're changing things up and it's working.
What did we do with the Packer game that was better in the second half?
Well, we changed. We just didn't.
I think the issue is
way in that game, but
I mean, I agree with you, General.
I think the issue is we're still only seeing one good half a week. We haven't yet pulled it together for a full game. But I do agree that the adjustments are encouraging.
Who's a player that you guys want to see more out of going forward here that you thought might be playing a little better? Because I have one, but I'm curious.
Anwudzirike.
He was hurt, and then they're working him slowly in. So
I just want to see more out of him. Yes,
I got you. I got you.
Someone you want to see playing better? You're saying?
Yeah, I mean, the guy for me is Jonah Jackson. I thought we'd see him take another big step up this year, and he's kind of he's been either mediocre or less mediocre. In this game, I mean, he had a holding penalty and then a stupid unsportsmanlike and back to back plays that hurt us in the first half from moving the ball at all.
Yeah, that was awful.
And I've not seen out of him the kind of projected
growth
step up the growth that we'd want to see out of him.
He better be careful, man. Logan Stenberg's right there waiting and he was in there two plays, by the way.
He was in for two plays.
He's making his way in there. Look out.
I would pick Amon-Ra St. Brown as my guy. I mean, I know you don't expect too much from him, but I was just kind of hoping he was going to step up and surprise people. I mean, he might be a decent player, but I don't. Usually, as a rookie, you're not going to come right out of the gate and be awesome. But I think he could do a little more than he's been doing so far.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's more on him though, or the offensive scheme that we're running?
A little bit of both.
Probably a little of both. I think if you're getting open, they'll find you eventually.
That's true. I mean, this is just an offense that targets a tight end and running back so much.
Because we have great running backs and tight end, and everyone else is not that good. So there's a reason for that.
I agree with you, Bob. I'm with you on that one.
Go to your best players.
I would say Barnes for me. I know he hasn't played much, and he got his first really chance this week, but he's the guy I really want to see more of stepping up. And I think he will. As time goes by, but he's the guy I would like to see.
Yeah, I like that they're giving him a chance now. I like that.
Definitely. Yeah. And then the next question I had in terms of this game and just going forward, Dan Campbell, do we have faith that he can manage the games properly? Do you have faith going forward that he can manage these games properly in crunch time? There's a lot of questionable calls in this, and then his time in Miami too. There's a couple, at least for that 8-game stint that he had in Miami. There's a couple questionable game management things going on down there as well.
Time will tell. Yeah. Honestly, we're just gonna have to see more. So early.
I kind of have faith in him. I know at the end of the first half of the Green Bay game, people thought he should have managed the clock differently, but that was kind of what he wanted to do. I think it was by design, and I think so far you might not like his choices, but I don't think he's caught like deer in the headlights. Like, well, what down is it? What time is it? You know, like, I don't know.
So
I think he'll grow in the end of the job. I haven't seen any horrible red flags yet. What are you guys?
I feel the same way, Bob. There's some questionable calls at the end of that play, but none of it was like egregious. miscalculations or any obvious bad calls. It's all a matter of philosophy and what you think would have been the right thing to do. Whether you think, you know, running it three times and then taking the kick or rushing only three guys to keep an extra guy in coverage. You know, I agree that generally I'd want to send aggression, but it's not like an egregious mistake. And
the rushing three guys was an egregious mistake.
Okay.
That was an egregious, horrible, terrible mistake.
I had to wonder.
We've seen it year after year, and it never works. And he did it. Why?
Anyway,
the rest of that,
I have
faith
in him, and I think he's going to just keep getting better at the job.
I have to wonder if this is a reflection of his faith in the offense. Like, do you think if he knew he had the receivers and he knew he had the quarterback, maybe he's like, yeah, we can go for the jugular here. Like, let's go get the touchdown. Or do you think that's just going to be his philosophy forever?
Well, he should have had a little faith because they had scored 7 red zone trips in a row. They had scored touchdowns. They took a field goal that time.
Right. And I was a little worried actually about that field goal because this is a guy that just got signed off the practice squad. And
that guy looks scared to death.
He was standing there for like 5 minutes. There was like a timeout and a long weird break going on. He was standing there forever. I was getting super nervous.
Pooping in his pants there. He was really, he looked scared to me.
I won't lose the faith yet. That's for sure.
No.
What about Justin Tucker though? Damn that guy. I was
unbelievable.
That last Ravens game where we had the thing won and then he had to kick a 61 yarder and we're just like, we were like from elation to like misery. I'm sure the people at this game felt the same thing. It was just like, when I knew they were lining up for the 66 yarder, I'm like, I don't feel good about this for the Lions.
I was the same way. I bet
everybody else watching that was not a Lions fan is like, no way he's going to make us. Lions fan watching is like, he's going in. There's no doubt about it.
You're right, Z. You're exactly
right.
That's
so true.
Oh, my goodness.
That's another reason to go for the touchdown, though. Like, everyone knows Tucker's the best kicker in football, and we left it on his foot. He made us look like fools, and he made Campbell look like a fool.
I think if you get a touchdown there's no way Lamar Jackson drives the whole field for a touchdown.
No,
but
no chance.
Yeah,
he just had one decent-sized pass or run, and that was it. But, yeah.
Well, the other side, too, is you throw one incomplete pass there, and you leave an extra 30, 40 seconds in the clock.
Right.
And, you know,
it's a risk.
And instead of a minute, they might have had a minute and a half or almost 2 minutes, you know, so – I don't know.
You know, here's a way to think about it. Dan Campbell put us in the position to win. Probability-wise, we should have won that game like 99.9999999% of the time. Because no one's ever made a 66-yard field goal in the history of the NFL. Yeah. It's just, oh, my God. It's just like.
That's going to stand a long time, boys.
Why? Always against the Lions. It's unbelievable.
I know. Tom Dempsey back in 1971 or whatever the hell
we should do like a Detroit Lions like a memories museum, but it's like all the best plays that happened against us. And it's probably like some like great
Well, a museum of horrors, right? Yeah. Halloween's coming up right around the corner.
It's like it probably have some really remarkable moments in there. Records broken and Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable how it always happens to the Lions. It always does. People talk about curses and stuff, but it's hard not to think about it when it just happens all the time.
It just doesn't suck. Like when everyone looks up like longest field goal NFL history, they're gonna see the Lions just
all over it.
Stunned.
Yeah,
that'll probably stand for the rest of our lives. I think. I don't think we'll see a 67-yarder for a long
time. I agree.
Matt Prater tried to break it earlier in the day with a 68-yard field goal, and
which got ran
back. Jamal Agnew ran it back for the Jaguars. Jamal Agnew, by the way, a punt and now a kick return for a touchdown this year. He's two special teams to return.
Which
one
could have kept that
going at it?
Were you guys a little surprised in that field goal that we couldn't get a hand up there to block it, considering he took like a crow hop before he
took an extra step, didn't he? Because of the power he needed.
Yeah, he took a crow hop, like a baseball player in the outfield trying to throw out somebody at home. Like they take a crow hop before the big throw. Justin Tucker took an extra like split second to block it. I just thought the block attempt was not our greatest effort.
No,
I'm not surprised. They have a good kicking team there. I don't think.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing.
Just curious. Something I thought about.
I agree. It's something to think about.
I don't know. What do you guys think of this? Like, some of these losses that we're going through our history were like really devastating. To me, this wasn't quite on that scale. Just because I'm kind of philosophically, I know what the rebuild's all about, and I'm seeing progress from the team, which I like. I mean, obviously, I want the win, but
right,
it didn't destroy my soul like some of these old losses.
No,
I think they're true. Getting better. I think it's they're in the right direction. I could be wrong.
I agree. There's like a sense of enjoying the journey that we're on right now too, beyond just that, you know, just win, let's win. Like, we're watching a team grow from a bunch of young kids into hopefully a champion.
Campbell's got a great philosophy on this. He knows they're going to go through rough times. You just want guys that are going to persevere through it. And I think they're buying into that attitude too. They're not getting down on themselves. They're excited about, you know, eventually winning here. Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking about it later this week, but this is a great opportunity for the Lions to, you know, make a statement against this Bears team that's really struggling right now. I think if the Lions win this game, Matt Nagy could be fired by the Bears. That'd be a nice little present for them. I think a lot of Bears fans are actually rooting for us, honestly, this upcoming week.
I know. They are. I really hope we get Justin Fields.
I mean, did you see the Bears average 1.1 yards per play? That was the second lowest in the last century of,
I know, 47 yards of offense.
Oh my god!
Yeah, there's a lot of memes out there. Like, Dustin Tucker's kick was longer than the entire yardage of Bears offense against the Browns. <There you go. laughs> So it could have been worse today. I guess that would have been a lot worse to watch than the effort the Lions put out today. So
yeah,
true.
Always a moral victory, I guess. Another moral victory for us.
We're all about those
moral victories.
This is all about growth.
We lead the league in moral victories.
Oh yeah. We always hold head up high on it.
Good question. Yeah, we dominate that.
Shouldn't we be in that already? The moral Super Bowl.
We just automatically
I think we're the defending champs 27 years in a row.
I wonder who he'd play in the moral Super Bowl, like the Browns.
The Browns? Did you say the Browns?
I said the Browns. Yeah, that was the one that came to mind.
Yeah, the Browns or the Vikings. The Vikings have missed a million field goals to in clutch situations as well. I know.
Anyway. Being a Vikings fan's got to be weird. Such an up and down franchise.
All right, gentlemen.
You know, I think that's gonna wrap it up. Talking about the Vikings.
Yeah. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. We're reacting to everything that happened week 3 on an unbelievable loss on a 66-yard field goal. NFL history. Tough pill to swallow. But Dan Campbell, this is his time to coach them up, get their minds right. You know, new week of football. And there's still 14 games left in the season. It's a long season with that 17 games. Especially a very winnable game against the Bears coming up here that can really right the ship in the right direction and change. And let us forget all about the 66-yard and the penalty nonsense.
I hope so.
14-3 should still make the playoffs, so just remember that.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I wish I'd get rid of the pajamas they wear on those uniforms. I don't like this.
Hey,
the silver one?
Yeah.
I don't like the
one. Don't you have the silver jersey?
I have the silver jersey. I like it. I don't like it.
I thought you had one.
I do, but... doesn't mean I like it.
It was a gift. I didn't want it.
Damn it. I tried to give it back.
How did
whoever gave you that gift doesn't know about it.
Hey, how did we do in our predictions this week?
I think 0-4.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's a rough week for us, too.
Oh, man.
We were exactly the same as the Lions this week.
Although, I will tell you this about our predictions. We gave the Lions more of a chance than anybody in the media was willing to give them. That's for certain.
And we were almost right.
A lot of people thought this would be a complete blowout, and we should have won this game.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. So, you know, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, keep just drinking the Blue Kool-Aid out there. You know, we got the right mindset here. Just pass this podcast around to the other people that, you know, maybe they need a little Blue Kool-Aid in their life. You know, pass this to them. Let them know. We're here. We're drinking it with you and for you.
Oh, yeah.
We drink for the millions out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you kids, you know, when you're in class, you know, keep a little earbud in, listen to the pod, tune the teacher out. It's cool, man. A
little Kool-Aid in your coffee cup.
We'll teach you teacher more than a classroom can.
Exactly. So, gentlemen, thank you. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back later this week. Looking forward to week four, where the Lions underdogs traveling to Chicago against the Bears. The Lions are 3-point underdogs right now, you guys, going in that game. So,
ooh, easy money taking.
Time to hammer the Lions money line.
More free money. I had a lot of Bears fans tell me, like, Lions underdogs? I'm not enough. Like, they hate their team. It's really funny.
No one hates the Bears more than Bears fans.
Right. So, all right, gentlemen. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download this. Please subscribe and please leave a review. Really appreciate it. Instagram, Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on there. And we'd really appreciate it. Let us know your thoughts about this last game and the craziness. And do you still have faith in Campbell? Or are you still drinking Blue Kool-Aid? We'd like to know. So please go on there. But otherwise, we really appreciate you listening. Look forward to talking about week four later this week with Blue Kool-Aid crew. And thanks to our producer, Kid Jay, as well, for all the work he does in the podcast. But gentlemen, last but not least, as always,
go! Lions!
Woo!
Oh yeah!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.